I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on another episode. We are thrilled about it being hunting season here on the Great Plains. We're finally getting some cold weather. And to me, that gets me really excited to get outdoors, ironically. But we're thrilled that it's here. And I know we've been busy with Outdoor Mentors, getting hundreds of kids out this season. And I've been able to get out and do a little hunting myself, which has been really nice. Rob, how about you? How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing well. It is that time of year when it might be 60 degrees and sunny one day on the Great Plains. And the next day you're seeing pictures of people in Nebraska. They open their front door and it's half covered with snow. So I see on the forecast, I'm not exactly sure when this episode's going to drop, but at least right now, when I look at on the forecast, there's some single digits and going to be some cold weather coming our way. But, you know, like you said, that means hunting season. So always excited about that.
Oh, yeah. It's always funny. We have kids signed up for hunts, kind of forecasted out to the end of the month, first of the year. And I'm already getting concerned parents like, well, how many layers do they need to wear on that hunt? Right. And I said, well, enough to keep warm, but enough to take off in case they get too hot. So can't complain about it, though. It's all about getting outside and enjoying that. And, you know, speaking of layers, it gets me excited to talk about today's conversation with our guest. The one thing that we all use in the outdoors is camouflage. It's pretty important in most hunting outings and fishing outings, actually. So in the past year, Outdoor Mentors has partnered with Vail Camo to help get us more kids outdoors and enjoying hunting and fishing and trap shooting. Vail Camo is one of the most powerful and versatile camouflage available and is located here in Wichita, Kansas. Today on the podcast, I'm excited to introduce our guest, the founder of Vail Camo, Joe Skinner. So let's get to know Joe a little bit. Joe is the founder of and designer of Vail Camo, driven by a desire to make more effective camo. Joe started Vail in 2012, while towards the end of his time in the Army at West Point, New York. For the last 10 years, Joe and the Vail Camo team have been responsible for bringing over 40 camouflage patterns into the market, with many regarded as some of the best performing options available. I will completely agree with that. Some of their past and present brands include First Light, Leupold, Stevens, 511, Beretta, Sims, Shields, Sportsman's Warehouse, and many more. Joe and Vail are continuing to evolve and push what is possible in concealment with the advancement in the use of machine learning and R&D to make more effective methods for staying hidden so their customers can truly count on their gear when it matters the most. Joe, as a pro is wearer, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, tell us, let's just jump in and tell us more about you. I'm so excited to get to know you.
Sure. Where do you want me to start?
Let's start with a little background and the start of Vail Camo.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't grow up hunting or fishing. It was pretty foreign. I know my dad did when he was younger and family members and stuff like that, but it wasn't really a part of the culture of my family. And I was in New York when I was stationed at West Point when I was in the Army. And I started to really get fascinated and interested in hunting. I wanted to be able to go out and harvest my own meat for my family. I wanted to butcher it myself. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do it the hardest way possible, at least, you know, not spear hunting or anything, right? but I wanted to do yeah. I wanted to do archery hunting, and I wanted to jump into the deep end immediately. And when I was like, well, I mean, I know I need camouflage, and I was pretty accustomed to wearing a lot of camouflage at that point in time in my life, being in the military, and something about the Army's pattern that they were running at that time, which is the digital pattern that I think everybody's fairly familiar with that they no longer use, really didn't make sense to me. And I knew a lot of other folks other soldiers that, you know, even I went to basic training with that were running into some really big problems in theater when they were deployed, and it was just not helping them, of course. We've all heard a lot of stories about that. But so I had that one thing percolating in the back of my mind where I was like, ah, camo, like, why isn't this working? And then I wanted to outfit myself with camo geared towards hunting. And I couldn't find anything in the market that really made sense to me. And I have a creative background. I started just kind of messing with camouflage ideas. I was like, I'm going to crack into this and see what I can design. I ended up getting, you know, something that was, I probably shouldn't say what brand I ended up going with, but I did buy it from First Light. And First Light, you know, the whole thing around merino wool being extremely effective, both thermally and also for scent mitigation, really made sense to me. So I ended up running a you know, layers and layers of merino. And at the same time, I started designing for fun. And then that really quickly became more of an obsession. And then I started, you know, informing myself by going into lots of research into how camouflage actually works, how it fools the visual systems of different animals, including humans, and just started to piece together my understanding of, you know, over 100 years of documented camouflage research, all the way back into, you know, World War I and before, and then all of the different advancements and all of the different, you know, theories and concepts that have been proven and used and utilized and implemented across all of these different spectrums. And a lot of camouflage was really advanced through military purposes. And I studied a lot of that. And I just started to implement these things that I was learning into, you know, my own little budding design philosophy around how camouflage worked. And I was sitting in a tree stand on this piece of private property waiting, as you do. You just spend so much time in nature just being. And that's one of the things that I truly, truly love about hunting, is just you kind of forge or reforge and maintain a deeper connection with your surroundings and nature. And it's really inspiring. And I was sitting there and I was looking at the trees just across from me. And I started to notice, I realized this self-repeating pattern that you see in nature called fractals. And you see fractals throughout nature in a lot of ways. And the fractal nature of nature kind of stuck out to me a little bit. And I was like, well, it's not a perfect fractal. It's not perfectly self-repeating up this tree and through the branches and all of this. And I wonder why. And I wonder if I can put this into camouflage. And that was kind of that aha moment where I started to peel back some layers and really crack into this design philosophy that really laid the groundwork for what became Veil Camouflage, and or Veil Camo, I guess. And I started concepting on this and doing research into how to implement these mathematical concepts. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not a mathematician. That's not my jam at all. And so it was a lot to try and figure out how to implement fractals and then this element in the natural world that deviates from that that perfection. And it's chaos that you see in the environment, and then it's perfection at the same time, and they're interacting with each other. And so that was the jumping off point for me to figure out how to build that into a business. And I cold called First Light after I was really proud of myself. And I was like, hey, you guys, I don't know if you're looking for camo patterns. I bought your stuff. I love it. I'd love to talk to you about camouflage. And they said, your timing's great. We're actually looking for our own proprietary camo pattern. I was like, okay, where do I mail it to? And at this point, I was like, I didn't know anything about non-competes. I didn't know anything about business. I didn't know anything about connecting all the dots. I just went for it. I just drove right into the side of it. And that pattern is First Light's Fusion, the pattern that probably helped them, I would argue, helped them kind of really defined the image of First Light into who they are today. And they've taken that formula and run with it in a lot of different directions, which it's great to see. They're a great company and they do really good stuff. So that was how Vail started, was me sitting in a tree stand in the cold, staring at trees, you know, and then figuring out how to make that into something that was tangible and meaningful and effective for people who could really depend on it.
What an incredible story. I have so many questions.
I mean, it was long. It was a long story. Incredibly long is probably more accurate.
Man, I love it. But first of all, I want to say thank you for your service.
Oh, sure.
We greatly appreciate you. Yeah. Secondly, I keep thinking, man, what a great example of what sitting in nature will do for you.
Oh, yeah.
How much inspiration it brings you. How you can start a career, how you put your neck out there and now look where you are today. I mean, it's incredible. I absolutely love it. I read that story read part of that story on the Vail website.
Mm.
So I remember some of the details about chaos and organized patterns, but not quite. And I just appreciate how you painted all that together.
Sure. Yeah. It was like a year and a half of trying to figure out how to make it work. But we got it. We did it.
So, Joe, as a lifelong hunter, outdoorsman, I'm intrigued. So, you know, back up a little bit and paint a little bit of a picture where, you know, when I first got into hunting, you wore either blue jeans or khaki pants and the classic, you know, red and black buffalo check flannel shirt.
Or
you went to Army Surplus and you bought the Vietnam jungle stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, the M80 and all of the stuff before Tiger Stripe and all that stuff. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, and then you started seeing stuff, the Mossy Oak stuff started coming out that looked like a tree trunk. So, sure. You know, you're on the Kansas Plains trying to hide from a duck. And you look like a big gray blob, right?
Yep. That's exactly what you look like.
Brown grass, right? And you know, I remember being in junior high and high school, and my buddies and I would take our old Carhartt insulated bibs and spray paint and go get leaves off trees, you know, cut a branch and overlay it and try and spray paint and see, you know. And then this guy, Bill Jordan, came out with this pattern called Real Tree. And we were like, oh, my, you know, like, we're going to kill every deer in the woods. It's over, you know.
Yeah. Bill Jordan did a lot for the industry, no doubt.
Right. And so there's this generation of hunters out there like me that have gone from that, you know, wearing grandpa's, like I said, black and red checkered jacket or whatever, you know, wool or cotton flannel. And you mentioned materials. But I want to jump in maybe a little bit into the concept of, so you came up with this idea of a pattern. And I think I understand, you know, I've thought for years, say for example, you're on a quail hunt and you don't have a dog and you shoot a quail on the prairie and you're sure you saw it go down. And you walk to that spot, good luck, you know, like you start walking circles and like, and so for, you know, for, I think generations of hunters have had that idea of this dead bird is hiding from me. Right. So there's gotta be a better way, a better method. Right. But then you start getting into fabrics and trying to get the patterns to adhere to the fabrics and things like windproof and waterproof. And is it going to retain heat? Is it going to hold moisture? Is it like, you know, I guess let's get in a little bit more of, we've got your introduction. So you're at West Point, you're in the Army, you're back into filling the freezer for your family. Right. And so this concept comes to you. Now what, how is it born that you go from, you help First Light with a very successful camo pattern. You've recognized that wool is a great material, but how do you get to where now you got this successful camouflage business in Wichita, Kansas?
Yeah, it's definitely a journey to get there. First Light came back after the success of the first pattern, and we did Cypher, their I guess a lot more drab, a lot more late season, a lot more just dry. And that's also, that was great to have them come back. Repeat customers are fantastic. And then not too long after that, it was about a 3-year period of me just trying to hustle at the conventions and make connections. And I finally got connected with the folks at Hadley Development based out of Wichita. And they said, hey, I think we can really make this scale. We have a lot of opportunities to be able to reach into the market with the relationships that we have.
So I'm going to stop you just a minute. So you were,
yeah, sure.
You were hustling at outdoor trade shows.
Yeah, like SHOT Show, ATA.
Okay, as a camouflage pattern designer, like what'd your business card say? I'm just curious, what does that look like, right?
Yeah, founder and designer. It's pretty unchanged over the last 10 years.
Okay.
It had my logo. It had probably a pattern on one side.
Mm-hmm.
It was just my contact information at the time. Okay. Really.
That, so you're that working out of your house part. At this point?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Wherever I possibly could, in a corner. Mm-hmm. And just feverishly designing. And you know, we already had proof. We being, I guess, me and myself, had proof that it was a viable business to be able, like the market at the time. So let's rewind. The market at the time, everything was dominated by mimicry style patterns, meaning sticks and leaves and tree branches and bark and whatever and reeds. That was the predominant style. And we were starting to see that become a little disruptive from folks like Sitka when they partnered with Gore, and then they hired the folks, I think it was Lieutenant Colonel retired Timothy O'Neill and Guy Kramer to collaborate on designing those patterns for Sitka. And that's all digital, right? So Timothy O'Neill is the father of digital camo in the US, and he was at West Point, taught there, all that stuff. So that's a fun, you know, weird intersection. But anyway. So
is this about same time that you're starting to see the resurgence of what I'm going to call the old school camo? Like, my 13-year-old son loves his Drake pullover, right. I don't know what you call it, jacket, sure. That's got like the 3-tone brown blob splotches because it's old school. I mean, I think that's what it's literally called, is old school something.
It's called heritage. It's called old school, retro, mm-hmm. whatever. I think that stuff has been around and has had a lot of, I guess, following or support or interest behind it for quite a long time, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing it more now than we ever have, actually. There's more of a general interest surrounding retro style camos right now, just from a purely fashion standpoint, not to really get too far into the weeds of how effective it is. But so in chronology of everything, so we're seeing some levels of disruption in the industry through Sitka and Kuyu, right? Both linked there very much by their founders. But I didn't really like that direction visually, aesthetically. And then despite all of the science that Sitka has said about a lot of their patterns, I from all of the research that I had done, I found that there were some opportunities for me to do things in a completely different direction that would improve upon camouflage and step into this space that was starting to open up, because there is more and more of an appetite for more advanced ideas and more what we call in the industry abstract style camouflages, which now, fast forward to today, all of the major players offer abstract camos. Pause for a beverage sip.
I love it. I also keep thinking about Rob describing camo as blobs. And so I just
kind
of want to be a fly on the wall when you get ready in the morning, Rob, and you're like, should I wear this blobby color or that blobby color? Sorry. Talking about guys and fashion, it's making me laugh over here a little bit.
Right. Yeah, our fashion is camouflage. Thanks very much.
I love it. Well, I also just love the angle you took in starting this company too, Joe. It's really neat that you saw what was happening. You still appreciated it, respected it, but said, I think I need to go this way.
Yeah. And you know, it really started from the desire to just do something that was meaningfully better for people like me. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best hunter or angler out there. I'm really not. And I want a pattern that's going to really has my back, right? If I shift a little bit, and if that deer turns and sees that movement, I want it to be able to confuse them. Now, I wanted to design patterns for when it really, really mattered, because everybody knows who's actually hunting is that you can go out there and hunt without camouflage. That's why blue jeans and a flannel shirt worked for a long time. But this is an evolution. Think of it in the same way. We're using way more modern, way more advanced tools to hunt. I view camouflage in the same ballpark. It is a tool to help you succeed at what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Do you need it? Not technically, no. But does it help? Yes. Yes, it does. So that's the real core drive, is just to take everything that we can learn about how camouflage works in the natural world with different species, different types of vision, and create an asset that the customer can like count on and go and do and pursue and, you know, do the thing.
Absolutely. I always tell my mentors and kids in our program, you don't have to have the most expensive line of camouflage. You don't have to have the most expensive firearm, you know, right? Like, you need to get the things that are going to improve your chances of harvest, right? And that means sometimes it's just any type of camo. And as you progress as a hunter, as an angler, and as you, you know, if you're younger, you know, you step into a more career-driven role and make more money, you can kind of start to splurge on these things that do then make you even more wildly successful. So I love that. I love the way you describe camo, the purpose of it. It's just really neat. I'm curious, what the heck goes into designing this, right? Like, I'm imagining you in a tree stand, like staring at a foliage for hours at a time. Like, what does that actually look like for you?
Yeah,
you? Is it a team? Like, does it take?
It's just me. Every pattern, it's just me. And it starts with trying to understand what the goal is. Let's say you wanted a camouflage pattern. The very first question I would ask you is, what are you hunting and where? Right? Where are you hunting? Is that outside of the normal range of this animal? Is this an outlier situation? How is this going to translate to your customers? Where are they hunting? You know, what are they hunting? And so using that, I'm able to understand the environment and the needs in that environment, whether it's a really wide open space and really exposed, or if we're going to be in the trees, and what type of trees, and what's your normal, you know, distance in terms of your engagement. Like, are we bow hunting predominantly? Are we rifle? What's the range? What's the color palette? What's a median range of all of these tones that we can apply that's going to work through a ton of different scenarios? Because usually when people come to us, they want predominantly a deer pattern. It's going to be where deer live, and it's going to need to be able to function for most of the season. And that's really hard. It's really hard because deer live in a lot of different places that look very different, and the colors can shift. So we have to be a little bit more refined in what we end up doing, and we kind of dig a little bit deeper. And so that process starts with those questions. There's a lot of information gathering. There's a lot of research on my part. Over the last 10 years, I have just a whole war chest of environmental data and photos and site visits and hours outside looking at colors and testing stuff in real time, you know, so that I can draw upon to be able to start understanding what my next step is, which is building a breakup scheme. And I'll explain what this means in a second, that's going to distort your outline. So we're very symmetrical, right? You draw a line top to bottom. We look pretty much the same on the left side as we do on the right side, usually. And a key part of what I do is distorting that so that the shape of you is not going to be perceived. And then you won't be perceived as much as a threat. You might be a curiosity. You might not. Like, if I'm doing my job correctly, you're not going to be perceived, right, visually. But so then it's just how to break apart your shape and then blend you into your surroundings. And all of that's informed by what you're hunting and where you're hunting it. So that's kind of where it starts. It's just a lot of hours of iterating and designing and coming up with something that's both unique to who we're working with and functional for the folks that they are purveying it to.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of topics there that hunters have recognized probably since there's been hunters, right? The general purpose camouflage probably doesn't exist. You know, if you're trying to hunt high mountain elk and then you take the same jacket and go sit in a tree stand in the Midwest,
yeah, good luck.
Yeah, and then you want to go take the same jacket and go try to hide in a marsh environment and kill a duck.
You might be able to, but right, it's not helping you.
Right, exactly. So, I know I fell into this trap, especially when budgets were limited. Not that they're unlimited now, but
same.
Right. So you invest as a hunter. And now in my household, you know, my wife does hunt, both my kids hunt.
Cool.
So when we make a purchase of a jacket or a coat or a pair of overalls or whatever it is, a hat, gloves, as the penny pinching dad that I am, I look at that and go, okay, my oldest boy can wear that for a couple seasons. My youngest boy can wear that for a couple right. seasons. You know, and when we're going out to hunt, it's like, well, where's your camo jacket that I bought you last year? It's not like, where's your upland, you know, grassland jacket? Where's your hardwood right. jacket? Where's your conifer jacket? Where's your duck marsh jacket? Right. Cause I mean, number one, where am I going to keep all that stuff? And then number two, I can't afford that.
That's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So it's good to know what you're hunting and plan for that. And if that's kind of your, you know, your wheelhouse, if you're basically a whitetail deer hunter in the Midwest, like you can build a good kit around that and it works pretty well. Like, here's the thing, like a lot of patterns, we can get away with a little bit more of an all-purpose scheme because of how deer see. And that informs a lot of what we do, is understanding what animals see. But you know, going back to your point, like, yeah, if you're trying, you can't use something that's designed for above the tree line down in the marshes. It just doesn't work out to give you away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess speaking about that, you mentioned that you're primarily working, in whitetail patterns.
A lot of whitetail patterns. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your product. So what, you know, so they're based out of Wichita. Before mm-hmm. we started recording, you were talking about how fortunate that Vail is to be able to go from design to garment all yeah. within the city of Wichita. So what do your products look like? You know, do you have some flagships? How many patterns are you offering? you know, what does the Vail offering look like?
Yeah, so the Vail offering, so there's a couple different facets of what Vail does. We do sell directly to the consumer. There's a handful of patterns that we run directly on our website, and we design and build all of those products, as we do for many of our partners. But I would say that there is a pretty darn good assortment of patterns on the Vail website. If you're just really curious about what we offer specifically, you can check that out. But it really, the doors get blown wide open when you start to talk about the partners that we work with. I mean, I'm going to miss people.
Before you go on, Joe, what is that Vail website? How do we find that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy. It's veilcamo.com, veilcamo.com. And if I'm not mistaken, there's probably holiday deals going on right now. Awesome. I don't know if
there are holiday deals.
Yes, do it.
I get all of the notifications conveniently on my email.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there's some really bonkers deals right now.
Sorry to stop you, but we'll make sure that
not at
our
all.
Listeners can find you. And then, yeah, let's talk about your partners as well.
Yeah, well, we have quite a few retail partners. We have some fantastic folks like Shield. If you have a Shield nearby, or you can just go online, that's always an option. But through Shield, we do, a good handful of patterns. We've been working with them for years now. And a lot of care went into making sure that we were benefiting the Shield customer. They made sure, and we made sure as we were working together, that it was going to really make sense to who they're selling to and where they're hunting and what they're hunting. And that pretty much goes to say, we do the same exact thing for all of our partners, right? That's a huge nugget that we kind of circle around a lot to make sure we're doing it right. So we've got Shields, we've got Sportsman's Warehouse, just in terms of like larger retail outfits. It shifts. I don't have the up-to-date list of who of all of our partners are right now. It's growing and I can't keep up with it. I just have to keep my nose down in design. But we've got folks like Sims. If you're doing fly fishing, there's a range of stuff from like saltwater flats to it's like areas like this in North Carolina where I am right now. There's a lot of beautiful streams and creeks, and the riparian pattern is perfect for that. We did some video and just some testing in this area when we were developing that. And it worked out really, really well. But it's an expansive list. I mean, we have folks doing all kinds of stuff across the, you can find some of those partners on our website, but mm-hmm. there's a whole list of anything from whitetail all the way to waterfowl. We even have a cool partner in California, a brand called Stussy. They ended up running a couple of our patterns, just purely fashion. If you can,
wow.
I mean, I know camo and fashion is always been a thing, but they totally dug it and it did really well. So it's fun to see that. But back into, you know, the list of partners, like definitely check our website. We do try to promote our partners as much as we possibly can. And you can on our social media channels and stuff like that. We tend to, toot the horn when anything new is coming out, or if our partners are doing anything special, we tend to share that as much as we possibly can, just, you know, so people can be aware that it exists and it's out there and they're very, very cool, very powerful. And affordable options. I mean, we're not talking super premium prices for a lot of these products, but you're running super premium patterns, which is a pretty cool edge.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's funny. I feel like I'm like the ultimate Vail Camo, like fangirl now. Just y'all, the staff, they're just incredible here in Wichita. You guys are just so generous with your time and sharing with others. But when people ask me, they're like, well, Vail Camo, tell me more about that. Who are their partners? I'm like, it's easier for me to tell you who's not their partner. Because, it's there's Beretta, there's Tractor Supply, there's Badlands.
Oh, man.
There's Muddy Girl, there's Magellan. I mean, and I wore Magellan for a couple decades without knowing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. And now I'm a big pros girl. And, for all you ladies out there, if you're looking for ladies wear, like truly, like it's the best fit I have found in a long time. So
yes.
it's really cool to see, you know, Bear Archery with you guys, Buck Bourbon. These are just some of the names I know. And Coleman Industries. I've seen your guys' like electric bike thing that you guys.
Yeah, I have one. I have one of those little things. They're so fun. It's kind of like a carnival ride with the, you know, that got loose.
It's
I just tear all over my property. in it.
I chuckled because I saw Garrett, which is one of your guys' staff here in Wichita.
Yeah.
He posted a picture. He was out hunting, didn't have any luck. He's like, I guess I'll just ride my bike out. And he had the bike in the background.
Yeah.
Like, that is genius.
Oh, yeah. There's, we do stuff with Coleman. We do stuff with, oh gosh, my brain. This is what happens when you're 8 miles deep in designing, then you jump on the Zoom call.
So I jumped on your website, and you know, some of the brands that I recognize right off for me, you know, you mentioned Shields, Tidewee is sort of a newer, at least for me, you know, moving into the waterfowl market and waders, and there's some disruptors in that market, especially with the new, breathable waders, which have been around a long time, but I feel like they're really coming into their own. I was looking at hardcore waterfowls on there, and we do a lot of whitetail hunting in our house. But we probably pride ourselves as would call ourselves waterfowlers before deer hunters. And so, personally for me, I'm always happy to see patterns that are designed around waterfowling, instead of trying to make a whitetail type pattern work in the marsh.
That makes sense. It's different eyes and it's a different environment.
If you want to try to hide from a group of wary mallards on public ground, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, good in luck. The shotgun range. So
yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
So do you guys have a retail store in Wichita?
As like a Vail Camo specific retail store?
Right.
We don't have a retail specific store. We're predominantly a business to business service. I guess that's what we're considered. I don't know.
Can buy your patterns and products on your website, and then patterns that you've designed for your partners.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, go into an academy, go into a Shields or a Sportsman's Warehouse. They'll be on the shelves, very easily accessible. And there's direct to consumer sales online. I mean, there's so much access to be able to get your hands on any of this stuff.
So does it say, let's say I go to a Shields and I see a hoodie in a camo pattern that maybe I hadn't noticed before or whatever, it's new to me. Is it going to say Vail on it somewhere?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it'll say Vail Camo here and there on the pattern, and there'll be a hang tag that says Vail Camo on it. So, you know that it's, you know, they're officially licensed, and we developed that for them.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so neat. I love it so much. We're just getting the Shields here in Wichita, Kansas. So
I'm
happy like to get that in store and go check it out. I think it's just great.
Oh, yeah.
Shields. Joe, I'm curious. I'm going to backtrack you because I know we talked about what goes into designing a pattern, right? A lot of detail.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, a time frame. What's a start to finish look like on that?
Oh, man. It really depends. Because a lot of it still, I mean, despite a lot of the scientific practice and the iteration and the testing and just the application of the things that we know through the process, there's still an amount of like creativity and artistry that has to pull it all together. And sometimes that inspiration can strike really fast, and sometimes you could just claw your way towards it. So sometimes it's, you know, a couple months, sometimes it's more than a couple months. It just kind of depends on the project. And then how much we have to iterate and revise and change things. Because sometimes we'll get halfway through a project and the scope will change slightly. So that really, you know, it's just kind of part of it. You have to adjust. And, you know, then for instance, making sure the pattern is where I want it to be for our partner is really kind of the first phase. And there's so many more phases after that. Then we have to make sure that the fabric takes that pattern the right way and holds the colors and it's accurate to what was designed. And that might take months to make sure that that green is the right green. That green is specifically this green that I put in there. And that's the part that I think is the most hair pulling. And the team in Wichita is unbelievable when it comes to making sure that these colors translate, and the communication that we have makes it a lot more fluid and a lot more effective to be able to, you know, make the right calls and get stuff quickly as possible, because, you know, design has to still function within the deadlines that our partners have. So there's a lot of just like turning on the machinery and keeping it running and, you know, midnight hour and like whatever it takes to get this stuff done. So that's kind of the second phase. And then there's, of course, reference photography and making sure that it's translating in the environment the way that you want it to. And that happens, you know, usually we'll prototype something and then we'll just print it on a matte piece of like a very thick paper, and it's, you know, color perfect, right? And so then we'll take it, and obviously paper and fabric and all that stuff's going to reflect light differently, but it's at least in the right conditions, we can at least start to say, all right, I think we're ready to test this on fabric. And then we move to fabric and they're like, well, we need to change that green again. You know, you open up the hood and you think it's going to be nice and clean and polished, but it's just like spaghetti in there. It just kind of, you know, I got to straighten out all those spaghettis.
Yeah, the process. You guys and certainly go the extra mile to make sure that that patterning is like just pristine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's what people depend on us to do.
I think that's just, it's just so cool to hear all that. I love it. I had in my head, I had this idea of like, oh, it's going to take like years for them to design something.
not these days, maybe in the early days, there was a lot of learning, yeah. But we really have it down. We really do. We generally are a lot more optimized these days in terms of just how long it really takes, as long as we can get all the information that we need up front and we can really work closely with our partners, we can hit that success and make sure that their customers are going to be able to rock it out in real world applications a lot quicker.
Yeah, it was fun seeing the design part of Vail Camo here in town. Mark gave me a tour one day and took me upstairs to show me where all the designing happened. And it was just incredible to see all the artwork laid out of all the different garments and you know, what patterns on them. And I said, holy cow, it's like the adult version of Fashion Poly up here. It's great.
Totally. Such a cool team. Such a cool team. They do such good work.
I love it. I loved it. Well, Joe, what else are we missing about Vail? I feel like we covered a good part of your story. I'm sure we could sit here and talk to you for hours at a time. Is there anything else we're missing? Before that, we want to tell you we do have a lightning round coming up where we're going to ask you a series of questions. No wrong answers, just a this, that, or maybe fill in the blank kind of situation. But tell us, is there anything else we missed about you guys that we should know about you?
I would say not about Vail. I think that, you know, people can definitely connect with us in all the different conventional ways. I mean, you can even email in if you want to. You can find our contact information on the website if you want to. You can reach out across all the social channels or YouTube or whatever. We love connecting with people and pointing them in the right way. And I really, more than ever now, my personal goal is to try to get people to make educated decisions about what they're buying, whether it's me or like whether it's my work or not. I want people to understand what a deer can actually see, what a turkey can see, and how all of these things can impact what they're spending their money on, right? Because we're all feeling the dollar just get thinner and thinner and thinner. We're like rubbing our pennies together here, hoping for more. And I want people to be able to make informed decisions that is really going to serve them. And it goes beyond marketing hype and all the fluffy cumulus clouds that marketing can build up, right? And cut through all of that noise and nonsense so people will have the knowledge to say, well, you know, deer don't see green and red. They're red, green colorblind, and their vision's this. And so that's going to mean this. You know, it's like trying to kind of lift folks up a little bit so they can make better informed decisions is really kind of more of my goal outside of just doing the design these days. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to put videos out on YouTube and across different channels that are mainly just a primer, sharing a lot of the information that we've kind of kept behind closed doors that we used to design with, just kind of just putting that out and for the public eye so they can learn and understand what's really going to help them when they're trying to do what they do.
I think that's fantastic and super selfless of you guys to share that information, especially coming from someone who works with a lot of kids who have no idea what to get into. That makes me excited about, you know, what future gear our kids will own and why they'll own it. So thanks for that. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you bet. More on the way.
Yes. Well, let's jump into our lightning round. Cracks knuckles. All right.
I'm ready.
Okay, so
both feet planted. Let's do it.
I'm gonna come shooting out of the gate here. So it sounds like onset adult hunter you were, right?
Mm.
What style of hunting are you into now? Are you more of a spot and stock kind of guy, or are you going to want to hang out in a tree stand or a blind and observe and take it all in?
I think I'm about 50-50 between tree stand and spot stock, and it's still primarily compound bow.
I was
oriented.
Just gonna ask. That's, I was gonna add on to that. Bow
love.
Or rifle. Cool.
Yeah, I still love that very much. And you know, it spot stock is usually more of a, I don't really know this area. I haven't scouted it out. Let's see what happens. And I'm just gonna be very aware of my surroundings. It's a huge challenge, right? And then it's like the wind changes. And I'm like, well, I'm just gonna wait for a little while. I love that challenge, right? And so tree stand's great. It's just a little bit more of a dependable, you know, you can really plan. And that's great. But I love the challenge of spot stock hunting for sure. And
oh yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Next, let's do it.
Depend, take a nap, all that good stuff. I love it.
Sure. Bring a book.
All right. So as a family unit, what's your favorite thing to do outdoors?
Oh my gosh. Mountain bike.
Cool. I love it. Well, you guys are in a great place for that too.
Yeah, we are.
Very
definitely.
Cool. Okay. So how do you balance the art of running a pretty large company and being like the designer, right? Mm-hmm. And a constantly changing and innovating company. Like how do you do it?
balance?
Yeah.
No, it's yeah. Honestly, the team at Vail has things. We've been able to put the roles of the different needs into the right people. So that's their area of focus, right? So yeah, I'm not, you know, playing CFO, COO, CEO, all of these things. I am the designer. So I can work with the various people and the communication. Like it's just communicating and making sure things are appropriately assigned to the right people. And it's a great team. They're doing a good job. And I would say it's just organization.
Yeah.
Very important.
Teamwork makes the world go round. It truly does. I'm a firm believer in that. So I love that. Love that for you. You do a better job too, I'm sure, with those reliable folks in your corner. So
absolutely.
Are you more of an upland waterfowl bird chasing kind of guy, or are you more of a big game deer, elk hunter, moose maybe? I don't know what you've all done.
Yeah, me personally, I'm more of a big game guy. But, you know, that's what I like. That's what I personally like. But, you know, the other folks on the team are all over the map. You know, we've got different areas of love, you know.
Yeah, I love
for
it.
Sure.
I love it. Where do you tend to find the most inspiration for what you do?
Outside.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, outside. I mean, there's always something to learn, something to be inspired by. It's so good, and it's good for you. It's just really good for your mental health, your physical health, and so much can come from that if you just open yourself up to it.
Yeah, I remember being annoyed with my grandma when I was younger, and we'd be feeling sick or blue or whatever. She's like, just go for a walk or go sit outside and take a deep breath. And I'm like, grandma, that's not going to make me feel any better. And now that I'm adult, I'm like, oh, grandma always knows. That is great sauce right there. Get your butt outdoors.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. All right. So talking about your patterns specifically, I just ordered a blind for my parents, and I was debating between patterns. Okay. So
okay.
What's your jam? Big Sky, Grind, or is there a different favorite?
Where is it going?
Ooh, well, Midwest Kansas deer hunting.
Close to the trees, away from the trees. How exposed? Yeah,
a little tree-ish.
Grind's probably pretty darn good. It depends on how thick the brush is around it. I probably wouldn't do Big Sky. Big Sky is really Big Sky could work. Big Sky was really designed for more of an exposed environment. Think more semi-arid out west, right? Mm-hmm. Grind is a good all-rounder for the Midwest. You get into the scrubby oaks, you get into all of that stuff. It works really well. Especially, and they're like, if you can tuck it a little bit closer to some brush, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, I feel very good about my purchase because
ordered.
And
well done.
What's even better is it's the see-through one. I can't remember what you call that. I can't either.
It's so cool.
Top to bottom, you just see out. And I've got a very squirrely nephew, and he got in there. And he goes, "This is the coolest thing I've ever been in." Like, he might as well stepped foot on a rocket ship. So,
yep,
I love it. So, all right. So last question for you, Joe, what is the hardest location or area to design a pattern around? Oh, I might've stumped him.
Maybe. It's everything's creative problem solving when it comes to doing this. And I would say saltwater fly fishing.
Wow, that is specific.
Yeah, I would say salt flats of Belize and Florida was because what do you have behind you? What's your surroundings? It's blue.
True.
How are you gonna make that make sense? Yeah.
And that is why you are the lead designer here, Joe, because I was thinking like a certain kind of tree or this and that, and you're like, nope, it's saltwater fishing.
Yeah, that was so far like the strangest. I was not a believer in fishing camo. And then I did it and I was like, I get it. I understand. Like, you just learn how they see and how the water acts as yet another lens and what that does. And then you start to go, okay, I can apply this way. And then I can use the distortions in the water to be able to, you know, do this. And so then, yeah, it's everything's creative problem solving. But yeah, so that was probably one of the bigger strange challenges is anything water-based, right? Because we're so used to chasing animals on land, but then you start to add, you know, a completely different brain and set of eyes and environment peering into another environment where you live, but you're trying to get them out of that one. So that was the challenge. Yeah.
That's
good,
so cool.
Yeah, that first time you're fishing for even stock trout in Missouri or Arkansas or someplace, and it's clear water, and you're like, these fish are going to be dumb. And you cast out there, and they swim up to where they can, you know, they're just looking at you, and they just swim away. You know?
Oh yeah.
Look at this dummy.
Mm-hmm. Let alone the salt flats of Florida or something where these are like wild fish, you know.
Oh, like a bonefish?
Yeah.
Out in Belize. I remember when I went out into Belize with Will Flack, the pro staffer and a rep for Sims when we were developing their cloud camo.
Uh-huh.
And it was spooky. Those fish are so spooky. And we were in this flooded area because it was high tide right before a tropical storm was going to bear down on us. It was a wild trip. But I mean, the water is murky, but they're so spooky. You have to be an absolute ninja. And so we were prototyping and testing the pattern that I just told you about. And, you know, learned a lot on that trip about, you know, the environment and how they perceive it. Yeah, for sure.
I love it so much. So cool. And those experiences, I can't even fathom as a designer like yourself, like what's going through your head mile a minute, you know, in terms of how to be more successful, how to be the best concealed, how to be the best concealment out there. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, we're moving into using machine learning now. We're implementing that. a lot where we're learning the this very computer melting system learns what an environment looks like, and we're able to regrow our work more closely into these different biases. And we're just trying to find every possible opportunity we can to just up the game, make it better and better and better.
I think it's great. Well, Joe, we talked about how ways people connect. I know website's great. You guys have an Instagram, a Facebook. Mm-hmm. Sure. Obviously, hop on the website if you're looking for what other patterns Vail is partnered with. You know, you can skim through all of them, link directly to their website and order, you know, your Vail camo gear, be in store looking for it. So take a look at that. If anyone wants to contact you, Joe, I'm sure we can get your contact information to at some point, but we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was fun talking to you guys, and it's probably good to cap it here because we could keep talking about camo for many, many hours, and then everyone would just peacefully go to sleep.
I think we could probably do that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I really do appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
All right, we'll see you guys.
We'll see you.